Today we're going to continue our series, part 98. no, part 14. It feels like part 98, but that's fine. We're having fun. And, well, I am. I don't really know if you are, but it's fun for me because this is one subject that we're learning every day. Every day you have chances to figure this out. Every day is an adventure in being led by the Spirit. Every day. Because every day, you know, little things, sometimes medium things, sometimes big things. But if you can get skillful with the baby things, hallelujah, it'll help you. And so we've been sharing different thoughts, and I said there was story time. Did you bring your blankie tonight? Do we have warm milk to hand out for everybody? I want to just share a couple more stories with you, like kindergarten. But it's good, and it will help you. Praise the Lord. I got one hot off the press, just something that happened in India. So I just want to repeat what I shared last time very briefly. So there's this Airbnb up north in Oasis. You remember that story, right? And there's the cheap one, and then there's the expensive one, and I want to be a good steward. Well, that's true, but that can also be code for I'm cheap. Do you understand? It all depends on your heart. So I thought, well, I don't want to pay that much, so I'm going to go there. Do you remember? And anyway, I didn't have I didn't have a check about the cheaper one. So I'm just telling you different ways you're led by the Spirit. Didn't have a check. So, you know, you're looking for that check, but in this case, clear the board. You got two options. I'm just saying this because this is practical living. You've got two options. One is expensive, one is not expensive. You don't have a check. So where is the green light if you don't have a red light? Sometimes it's hard to tell what the green light is because it's a velvety feeling, it's a good feeling, but sometimes it's hard to know, is that my soul or is that my spirit? A check is easier to tell. A red light is much easier to tell than a green light. That's why Dad Hagin said we're led by red lights more often, because it's more distinct. But if there is no check, what do? You're looking for the green light, but sometimes what does the green light come as? How is it delivered to you? In a desire. We talked about that before. There was a desire for the more expensive one, and there was just kind of a flat line for the other one. But you see, I got in my soul and I thought, well, of course there's a desire for the more expensive one because it's nicer. That is not spiritual, Craig. That's just your own desires. Do you understand? So I ignored the desire. There was no check. Went with the cheap one. You know the horrific story of how it ruined the whole week. And then I went to the Lord and I said, Father, what happened there? Where did I miss it? And I said, let me give you a little piece of advice. When things go wrong, humble yourself and ask God where you missed it. That's the biggest problem with people. They don't want to admit that they've missed it. You're between you and the Father. He already knows you missed it. Why can't you admit that you missed it? If things go wrong, you missed it. Are you listening? Don't feel bad about it. If you get in an accident, you've missed it somewhere. But don't feel guilty about that. We all miss it. But if you don't ask the Father where you missed it. Like, I don't know if they want me to say their name, but somebody here, you know, was in a car accident a little while ago, and I contacted them. They were okay. God protected them. Praise God. There was no injury, but there was damage to the vehicle, and it wasn't even their fault. But, you know, what I found impressive with the individual is that they said to me, I went and asked God where I missed it. And I thought, now that's maturity. Because most people just complain and just cuss out the person that hit them. Where did I miss it? And then they told, and I said, well, what did the Lord reveal that to you? And they said, yeah, there was just a sense on the inside, don't go right now. But I had something to do. So I overrode that and I went and bang. Now you see, that's the inner witness trying to protect you, and you don't know what's on the other side of that inner witness. You don't know that there's a person going to go through the red light because you're not necessarily doing anything wrong, but they are. But the Holy Ghost saw that and he prompted you, don't do that. But I like the fact that they asked. That shows humility and spirituality. People that don't ask, this is not now that person can learn. You don't talk to God about things. I'll share about a bit more in a second about that. You don't approach him. He won't talk to you. About Dad Hagin said that a lot. Many times God will not talk to you unless you approach him. You've got to ask him. And when things go wrong, whether they're big or small, ask him, Lord, where did I miss it? And don't be so proud that, you know, we miss it regularly. We're humans. Don't be so on a high horse that you can't admit that. Amen. So I said, Lord, where did I miss it? Because there was not a red light. And he spoke to me and he said, I don't only lead you by red light, son. I lead you by green. I couldn't tell the green. There didn't seem to be a green. He said, where was your desire? Well, of course, my desire is going to be for the nicer place. Right? See, we override that. We ignore that. Yeah. And he corrected me and he said, stop making soulish what is spiritual. If there's no check, go with where the green light is. The green light comes in the form of a desire at times. Now, you've got to know your own heart if you're just being greedy or pretentious or snobby. But if you're not like that and you know you're not like that, then follow that desire because that desire is the green light. Now, we go down to Dominica, and you know that story. I told you that story, that wonderful story. And so I inverted this situation because I'm not going to make the same mistake as Oasis Airbnb. Yeah. So now there's a cheaper one and a double price one. But dear God, I'm not making that same mistake. Right? Because you see, now you can get in your soul again. You can start beating yourself up and say, you see, I should have gone on the more expensive one. Wrong. That's the wrong response. Yeah. It's not about going on the more expensive one. It's I should have followed the green light. Yeah. Now, do you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you. Yeah. If you focus on the natural side, I should have gone on the more expensive one. You've missed the boat already. Because it's not about the most expensive or the cheaper. It's about the green light or the red light. Yeah. It's about the inner witness. So you see, if you're not renewed in your mind about money, are you listening to me? If you're not renewed in your mind about money, then what's going to happen is without even realizing it, you will make decisions based on money. And then instead of thinking, I'm going to follow the lights, the witness, you're thinking, well, last time I should have gone expensive. So this time I'm going expensive. No, last time I should have followed the green light. So this time I will follow the green light or the red light. Because you don't always have both. Usually you have one or the other. Reds are easier, but he doesn't only lead you that way. So see, that was my mistake. Planning the trip, I'm going to not make, see, I thought about money. You don't even realize how much you're led by money. I'm telling you, if you're open-hearted, don't be weird on me now. I can feel the vibes of offense coming off certain sections. The world system is dominated by money. So it is normal and natural to make decisions based on money. And to some measure, you have to have common sense. Do you understand? But when you know you can afford both, don't make it based on money. Okay? Because then you're following the carnal system of the world. We want to follow God's system, and he is not led by money. Okay, he's not moved by money. He isn't. Believe me, he isn't. And it's a carnal person that always tries to save God money. Remember, Pastor Nancy taught us that. Well, it's easy to hear that in a sermon, but it's harder to live it. As I'm expressing to you. So what my thought should have been is, I'm going to look for the green or the red. What I said instead was, I'm going to go the more expensive because I missed it the last time. It doesn't matter about the most expensive. It matters where's the green or the red. See how I missed that? So now I'm planning the trip and now I'm not even looking for the green or red. I'm just got my mind on more expensive. So I did that. But like I said to you in the last explanation, it wasn't a check like I'm used to a check. It's a certain, like a sense you get like, But this just seemed like a leaning. But it wasn't the traditional check. What is that? Leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arms of the Lord. You know, there's that song, leaning, I'm leaning, leaning on the, okay, anyway. So there's a leaning, but I thought, I don't know, that don't seem like a check to me. But I'm so fixated on the money. instead of on the green light, red light, inner witness. So I made the decision. So then when that backfired, and you know how that backfired, right? I shared that story. I don't know if I shared it again. But when that backfired, the way that backfired, I said, Lord, now what the heck is going on? I did the right decision. I picked the more expensive one because I was a cheapskate last time. And he corrected me and he said, no, it's not about what's more expensive or what's cheaper. It's about the inner witness, son. I said, there was no inner witness. You know, you like to blame him. There was no inner witness. There was no, I didn't feel a desire for one or the other. You see, I'm looking for that desire. There is no desire. Yeah. I really didn't have a desire for one over the other, and there was no check. So you see, I'm a lawyer, and I go before him, I say, it's your fault, because there was no green light, and there was no red light. What am I supposed to do? And he said, did you have a leaning? I said, that's another story, because I don't even know what the leaning means. And he spoke to me, I heard him. He said, a leaning is a leading. A leaning is a leading. In other words, in this case, the leaning toward the other was a kind of a green light toward one and simultaneously a red light toward the other, but it didn't feel the traditional red light. And there was no desire necessarily, which was in the previous case, that was the green light. I'm trying to help you. Don't go with money. Go with what do I sense in my spirit? And just take a minute. Or if you don't have to make a decision right away, take a day. And just, you don't have to pray and fast and be all extreme, but just say, Father, concerning this hotel, I don't really know what to do. Pray for 5 minutes. Don't be legalistic about it. Don't be weird. But just talk to him. Lord, I pray out the mystery about this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. I need to know. And then just sense. If there's no red light, look for a desire. If there's no desire and there's no red light, look for a leaning. What do you sense? Because that leaning is God's leading. You see, so you can't make the decision on money. When I went cheap, it backfired. When I went rich, it backfired. So the money is not the issue. The issue is the leading, because the Spirit of God knows exactly where that car you're going to buy. He knows who assembled it. He knows if they were a little hungover on the Monday morning after their Sunday night party when they assembled it. Right. You think this is a joke? They say never ever buy a car assembled on a Monday or a Friday. No, that's what they tell you. And you can actually ask, when was this assembled? They have to by law tell you. But usually they give you a fight. Well, I don't know. We can't figure that. Yes, you can. I want to know when this was assembled. You can force them to tell you, and they have to check. But don't ever buy one on a Monday, because they're hungover and they want to be there and they're grouchy. And don't ever buy one on a Friday because they're distracted. They're wanting to go party. And they've done statistics. Cars built on a Monday and a Friday always have more problems than Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Because the workers are not concentrating and they're not doing as good of a job. Now with automation, with robots and everything, it might not be as bad as it was when I heard that statistic some years ago. But I'm just saying, the Holy Ghost knows. You don't have to call the psychic hotline to ask which car you buy, because those are devils. We don't do that with devils. But we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He knows everything about everything. He knows if the head office is about to come out with a 2% lower interest rate in 30 days. And when you feel, I don't know, this is something I'm holding back, don't violate that, because he might have a treat waiting for you. Don't go on money. Go on the leading. It's not always traditional, this immense, I just know that I know that I know. Sometimes it's a desire. It's not always this blaring red. Sometimes you don't sense the check, but there's a leaning one way or the other. Just trying to help you. Because we're talking about very practical things that we have to face. Okay, so I have my other notes, but I'm going to sidetrack. Let me look up in my files here where it says, what are we today? What are we today? March? Where it says India, I'm looking, there it is, India words from God. Because I always make files if I'm on a trip, I write words, I write improvements where I have to beat Happy up when I get home. Where we didn't do a good job on things. And I just make files for everything. So I don't have to remember it if I write it down. And so the Lord said something to me which bears witness with what I'm talking about right now. So can I give you a fresh example? Okay, so we're in India, glorious India. And we have a layover. The Olympia Grand, was that on the way to Rajmundry? That was on the way, right? Hyderabad to Rajmundry? Yes. So we've finished our conference in Hyderabad with those wonderful 300 pastors. And then we're going now flying to another city where there's the other 400 pastors. And so, you know, with the airlines, and we're not exactly sure how it all works, so we wanted to give lots of time so we don't miss connections and all that kind of stuff. So we're in Hyderabad, and now we have to wait, for the next flight. And the airport, you know, it's not always that comfortable, and I was tired, and so I said to, Pastor Happy, I said, let's go to a hotel, and let's just, because we got a 7-8 hour wait. So I said, let's just go and just maybe we can get a half day rate or something just so I can have a little nap. And then we're going to go to the back to the airport, which is a whole nothing. OK, back to the airport. That's amazing in and of itself, just to get to the airport. To get in the airport, you've got to go through four lines. Everything is challenging. So you've got to add a lot of time to everything you're doing because you have no idea how long things are going to take. But we still, with 8 hours or 7 hours, whatever it was, we needed a rest, and it's hot. So I said, let's go. So we're driving from Pastor Paul's conference venue, and we're driving to the airport, but then we're going to take a taxi for the rest of the way. So anyway, so we're there, and I'm looking on my app that I have for hotels, and then there's Novotel, which is a nice hotel. That's $465 per room per night, no half rates. So immediately the answer is no. I don't even have to pray about it. Okay. So then there's the next one, and then there's the next one, and they're like, okay, 300, 200, 250, 280, 190, da 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 da. And I'm thinking, all I'm doing is napping, for goodness sakes. I'm just napping. I don't need fancy stuff because I'm just napping. I'm just having a nap, and then we're leaving. So I keep scrolling down, and then I find the Olympia Grand Hotel. And it says, in brackets, luxury hotel. Now, that's up my alley. If I see luxury. Now, what should have warned me is that the price per night was $26.75 Canadian. The Radisson was $300. The Marriott was $290. But the Grand Olympia was $27. Peter, I'm sending you a picture, and I would like you to please put it on the screen when I call for it. Now put the back version first, and then the close-up when I call. Can you do that for me? All right, just because it illustrates the point. And so $27, I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. Are you listening? Yeah. Now, when we got to India, back it up by 10 days, and we were exhausted, and we've just got off the plane, and we have to leave the next morning to go north on another flight, and we're exhausted, we've just got off the long flight, and we've just landed, and there was a breakdown of communication with my staff. I won't mention names. Andrea, I won't mention names. There was a breakdown of communication, and so she had put us in the Novotel, and the price was more than double what we were told, and then we couldn't get out of it because 6 p.m. had passed, and you have to cancel it before 6 p.m. And so I already felt like, we've already wasted money in the Novotel. We've got to make this back. We've got to find a way to make this back. Like in the back of my mind, all week I've been thinking, because we're staying at different hotels every night because we're traveling. And I'm looking, is there like a really good deal? Well, that's okay. Nothing amazing. So when we come now and we're about to fly, and I see the Grand Olympia Luxury Hotel for $27, I thought, this is God. Because I'm making back the Novotel loss that Andrea cost the ministry. So
Sorry, Andrea.
You just take it on the chin, all right? It's either this or out of your paycheck, so take this. Just take this. Take what I'm doing now. It's cheaper for you. And so I said to Happy, we're driving. I said, Happy, Grand Olympia Luxury Hotel. And I showed him the picture. He's like, wow, that doesn't look too bad. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice. Look at that. Look at the rooms. They're nice. At $27. $26.75. I said, my God. And he's like, that's pretty good. I said, all we're doing is napping. We don't need to pray because we're just napping. And he said, let's go. So, you know, we've run out of rupees. Rupees is their currency. So we've run out. So we have only 500 rupees left, which is what, like $4 or something, $6 or whatever. And so we're taking the cab to this grand luxury hotel, but the cab costs 500 rupees. And we couldn't even tip the guy because we only have 500 rupees. But they told us in advance, if you come to the Grand Olympia luxury hotel, they'll exchange some money at the counter. $20, so we can get back to the airport. We're going to take the cab back, remember, in 4 hours. So, but then we found out that they lied to Corinne, a total blatant face lie, because what they do is they tell you that they'll do that, but they have no intention of doing that because they have no rupees. But they just want you to get there. Because if you get there in that traffic that is slit your wrist traffic, you're never going to leave. You're not going to go find another hotel. You're going to stay there. And they know that. So we get there and he says, no, I didn't tell her that. I said, my secretary doesn't lie to me. She talked to you. And I said, I know your name. She talked to you. You said, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. We don't have any money. We don't have any rupees. And so I'm thinking, Pastor Happy, we can't get back to the airport. We're going to miss our flight. We got no money. I said, I'm tired. This is the Grand Luxury Hotel. I'm going to go and rest. And you go, I'm sure there's an exchange place 5 minutes from here. Go. Poor Pastor Happy took him an hour and a half, went to 7 different exchange places to find somebody to take U.S. currency in the heat with the taxi driver. I didn't know that till afterward because I'm sleeping in the grand luxury hotel. And then he came and got a little nap. And the driver, you know, we were so traumatized. We said, could you just come back, please, at a certain time? We don't want to get another taxi. So he said, I'll come back. We got the money. We paid him. And I'm in the grand luxury hotel. And I walk in and I realized immediately that there are a bunch of liars and thieves, that this is not grand or luxurious whatsoever. And then I thought, well, obviously it's $26.75. The pictures were false pictures. They're not real pictures. They couldn't be because the room doesn't look anything like the pictures. And I got the best room that they had. It's a very large room with linoleum floors and, you know, anyway, and I'm looking at the bed and I'm thinking, my God, is there fleas in that bed? And I'm looking for cockroaches because, you know, those kind of hotels. And then do you have the picture yet? Put up the far back one. So I go in the bathroom and this is the bathroom. Now, it's okay. I mean, there's 4 different levels. You don't see the wood in the bottom and then the tiles in the middle, but then there's another different kind of tile and then there's a different kind of tile at the top. When you've got 4 kinds of tiles, that's an indicator. But as I'm looking at that, I look at the wall and I'm thinking, what the heck is that? So do the close-up for me. And this is what I see on the wall. now let me tell you something. I went to India 28 years ago. And where I stayed most of the time, because I didn't have any money. I was a kid. I had no money. I would stay at hostels or I would stay at missionary homes and nobody had toilets. There were no toilets. There was a hole and a bucket with water and you have to do the person on the left. You have to do that over the hole. Okay? And so I got so comfortable doing that 28 years ago when I came home from the mission field. I remember I saw that toilet and my instinct was to climb up and do the guy on the left because I'm so used to doing that. So I actually know what this feels like. But that was 28 years ago. Now when I look at that, I looked at that and I thought to myself, oh my God, the jungle people, the village people, the peasant people come to this hotel. Because if you have to put that on the wall Only the people in the slums and the, they are the only ones that squat. Right. So I thought it was kind of funny. I took a picture. I sent it to Jenny. I go back out. I checked the sheets very well to make sure nothing was in there that was alive. And I tried to turn the air conditioner, which didn't work. So I turned the fan on. And I was tired. And I thought Happy was in his room, but I found out later he's going for an hour and a half. Anyway, so I lie down, and I had a nice two-hour nap. And I woke up, and then I talked to him, and he says, I'm just going to rest for a while. I said, take your time, brother. He said, the taxi will be waiting for us at such and such a time. So I had an hour left. So I'm just, whatever I'm doing, reading or whatever I'm doing. But while I'm in that hotel room, I didn't use the bathroom. I was too afraid to use the bathroom. But while I was in that hotel room and I was sitting on the bed reading, the word of the Lord came to me. And I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. The word of the Lord came to me sitting on that bed. And God was not happy. He was not happy with me. I know his tone. Now listen, I think that he's happy because I made back the loss from Novotel. It's only a nap. What is the big deal? I didn't use the bathroom anyway, so I don't need to worry about squatting or not squatting. I feel like this is a good deal. We actually saved the ministry money. And he spoke to me, Jenny, and I wrote down what he said afterward, because when he said it, it wasn't the moment to write. It was the moment to get on your knees and be quiet. Because when he talks to you like that, that's not a time, you don't open your mouth when he's angry. And he spoke to me and he said this. Can I tell you what he said? He said, you trying to, and that's how he said it. You trying to save me money is thinking wrong about money. And it will hinder the flow of money to you.
So true.
And then listen to this. He said, a place like this is not worthy of your anointing. And then he paused and he said, neither is it worthy of your office. And he said, this is poverty and you have displeased me. I'm telling you, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, this is great. We have finally made back Andrea's mistake. God is pleased. The budget will balance for the trip. Like, honestly, that's what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking anything. So when he said that, I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. I thought I had done a good deed. You trying to save me money is thinking wrong about money. Now remember, Pastor Nancy has taught me this. She's taught all of us, if you've been listening. You don't have to save God money. He's not poor. You only save people money who are poor. Now, we don't waste money, and we're not bad stewards of money, but don't use that as an excuse to be cheap. God is not poor, and he does not expect his servants to act poor, his children to act poor. So when he said that, you trying to save me money is thinking wrong about money. And that is a very powerful statement, and it will actually hinder. In other words, the thought process about something will hinder its activity in your life. And Pastor Nancy has said that. If you keep, remember, Dad Hagen said, the more you talk about money, the less it will come. Meaning complaining, whining about money. But the more you call and just praise God and thank him, the more it will come. In other words, when you're complaining, whining, or trying to save the money and you're in a negative connotation in your words about it, it'll actually hinder it coming. It's a spiritual law that you're violating. But like I was really, you know when you're like in a pretty good mood and you think you're great and all of a sudden somebody yells at you, it really surprises you. And I thought he was pleased. Shows you what I know. You try to save me money is thinking wrong about money. And it will actually hinder the flow of money to you, son. A place like this is not worthy of your anointing. A place like this is not worthy of your office. This is poverty and it displeases me. And I've never heard anybody say that. Now, I've heard, Sandra, people talk about not saving God money. I've never in my life ever heard any minister ever say that certain things are not worthy of the anointing. And I thought, Lord, I've never heard anybody say that. Not that I'm doubting it. I heard it as loud as I'm talking to you. I know it was God. But then he reminded me, he said, what did Wigglesworth say? Wigglesworth was persecuted because he would take the first class cabin on the train when he would travel throughout England. And people would say, you're wasting God's money going first class. And he said, if God can pay a first class ticket to preserve his servant's strength and comfort, then I'll go back to being a plumber, because obviously God's cheap. He said, I have to be rested and ready when I get there to minister. And God does not have a problem with a first class ticket on a train. Do you understand? Because the rest of them were sitting like this, but a first class cabin back in the 40s, you had a little bed that you could sleep in. And when he would get on those long train rides, he'd get there having rested and he'd go right into preaching. It's hard to get right into preaching when you're exhausted. So he said, God don't mind paying that. In other words, he's using his faith. He's not manipulating people. He used his faith, and God touched somebody's heart to give him the money so that he could rest while he traveled. And he said, if that's a problem, I'll go back to being a plumber. Because if that's the kind of God I serve who's that cheap, I don't want to serve him. Yeah. So God reminded me of that story. And he said to me, he said, that cabin was worthy of his office and his anointing because it needs to be protected. The anointing needs to be protected. Yeah. Now, we don't think of it that way, do we? But when he said that to me, I'll never see this again for the rest of my life the way I'll never see it the same. Because I heard him say, it's not worthy of your anointing. I thought, oh my God, God actually sees the anointing as having worth. Yes. Which we don't think of. We don't think the office has worth. He didn't say it's not worthy of Craig Field. He said, this is not worthy of the anointing and your office. In other words, the office deserves something better than poverty. And I'm personally fine with poverty. I don't have a problem saving money. I think I probably should save money. But God got angry with me. He said, because of your thinking about trying to save me money and going in poverty, you have offended me. And it will hinder the flow of finances to you. So start changing your thinking about it. So I got down on my knees and I repented. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I did not know you saw it that way. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. You see, in the two examples I told you before, both were made decisions on money. Now, I know that. But immediately, I get another opportunity and I fail again. This time, I didn't even pray. This time, I didn't look for a red light or a green light. Who needs a red light or a green light when it's $26.75? But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? You see, it's the same mistake. We made the decision based on money instead of based on the inner witness. Oh, Lord. My God. Hallelujah. I don't know if this is helping you or not, but I'm telling you. So I repented, and then I just kind of took a few minutes, was quiet, waiting on him. I said, Lord, is there anything else? I've learned something with God and me. Maybe he's different with you. But when he's angry with me, he'll say something that's usually short, and he waits for me to repent. And then he will speak more most times and explain it more. But he makes me wait. That's how he does it with me. I don't know how he does it with other people. So because I know that pattern, and I know that was a kind of a short statement, but I repented, and I kind of waited. He's like, Lord, I know you're going to make me wait, and I'm happy to do that. I know you're annoyed with me because I deserve your correction. Yeah. It's called chastening. Yeah. My thinking's wrong, and it's going to affect this church. Yeah. You understand? This is more than just me in a hotel. This is a mindset that will affect this. It'll affect our next building. This is so important. This is so important. So I knew he was probably going to say something more. Maybe I didn't know for sure. But I knew I have to wait. I have to be silent. And so I did. I just waited for a while. And he did speak. And he spoke a little bit longer. And I recorded what he said. This is what he said to me. He said, stinginess is fear. And that stops the flow. Liberality and generosity is faith. That's trusting me that there'll always be more than enough. And that releases the flow. He said, if you're led by my Spirit, you will always be generous. Because the Spirit of God doesn't know anything about stinginess. Do you understand? He said, if you learn to be led by my Spirit, you will always be generous. Now listen to this statement. With yourself and with others. Now everybody preaches being generous to others. What about being generous to yourself? I'm not talking about greed. I'm not talking about wrong attitudes. I'm not talking about running yourself in the hole in debt. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you've got a chance to have your nails done with the lady that cuts you because they're $5 cheaper, or you can go to the next store with the lady who don't cut you, because my wife tells me all this stuff about nails and how they can, if they're not gentle, they cut you when they're doing it. And you can pay $5 more for somebody that's got a more gentle touch, but you're too cheap to pay the $5. You're not being generous with yourself. Are you listening to me? I'm not talking about going and buying a designer purse, putting it on a credit card, and driving yourself in debt. That's not what I'm talking about. You got to have the right motive, the right heart on this. You can take what I say to an extreme, but that's not the spirit of what I'm saying. He said, the Spirit of God will always be generous with yourself and with others. And there'll always be enough. Amen. Mm. Now listen now. He said liberality to the unrenewed mind. Yeah. Which is me at that moment. And it's you, some of you sitting here. Yeah. Liberality, that means generosity. To the unrenewed mind seems like waste. Yeah. That's what I heard him say. But the liberal soul, my word says, shall be made fat. Or shall increase. Made fat means to increase. So he's showing me something. So a liberal, generous attitude always produces increase. Because he said the liberal soul, the generous soul, will be increased. So a liberal, generous attitude will always produce increase and abundance, and that is never waste, son. Then he quoted me Psalm 23. He said, your cup running over is not waste. Ever read that verse? Yeah. My cup runneth over. Yeah. Well, if you pour orange juice in a cup and it's running all over the table, you would correct your child and say, stop wasting the orange juice. Because that orange juice can't be drank. It has to be mopped up and thrown away. So in our mind, the way the human being is created in this world system is the overflow is waste. But he said, my cup runneth over. God authored the overflow. So, and God never authors waste. So how could an overflowing cup be wasteful if God authored it and God doesn't waste? Right. You see the way we think? Yeah. It's not right. Yeah. So he said to me, so the liberal, generous attitude always produces increase in abundance and never waste. Your cup running over is not waste, it is abundance. The overflow, son, is abundance. Amen. So be liberal with yourself. That is not waste. That is abundance. Amen. I'm telling you, Jenny, it's like I had a moment with God in that nasty hotel room. Yeah. And it changed me.
Yeah, amen.
It changed me because I realized I had displeased him with wrong thinking about money. And my heart's right. And I'm trying to be a good steward. But that is an excuse in this case for fear. Yeah. And cheapness. And the Holy Ghost leads with generosity and liberality. And that actually takes faith. To trust him that, Lord, I can be generous with others and I can be generous with myself while being led by the Spirit means there'll always be enough. And it will not hinder the flow. It will increase the flow of increase to you. Because that generous, liberal attitude produces abundance or fatness. And that produces the overflow, thy cup runneth over, and that is not waste, that is abundance. Amen. So we have to change the way we think.
Yes,
hallelujah. So from that moment forward, now it didn't really matter because the rest of the trip, they were putting us in the hotels that they wanted to put us in. So we didn't really have any more choices to make. But I made a change in my heart. And I said, Lord, I will never make a decision again based on money. I will never make a decision again based on money. You understand how serious this is, congregation? Because if I get out of the liberality attitude and into the stingy attitude, trying in my mind to save God something, I actually violate spiritual law. Because I step into fear instead of faith, and I actually hinder the flow of finances to this ministry. Now, that doesn't mean waste. That doesn't mean a bad steward. That doesn't mean that everything has to be over the top. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. Now, if I had prayed in that car just for a second, Lord, which the Holy Ghost would have given me a check about the Grand Olympia luxury hotel. But I didn't even pray because of $26.75. So you see, you're making decisions based on money instead of basing on the inward leading. You with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm trying to help you because we have to change the way we think. Change the way you think. Dad Dufresne would always say, don't ever say, I can't afford that. You may not have the money right now, but don't keep saying, I can't afford that. I could never do that. I could never afford that. No, my God, if that's in the plan of God for me, at the right time, as I'm led by the Spirit, he'll lead me into that and he'll supply that need in Jesus' name. Don't say, I can't do this. I'll never afford it. Watch your words. And don't be a waster in a true wasting sense, because this message can be in the gutter. Yeah. There are people out there in the prosperity message that take it into the gutter. Yeah. And everything now, if you don't drive a Mercedes, S-Class, you're a loser. Yeah. That's wrong. That is completely wrong, because not everybody's faith is there. If you are driving a Chevy, but that is where your faith is, and that is where the Spirit of God gave you the green light and the witness, then you are in the perfect will of God, and that is your prosperity in this season, and rejoice and be pleased with your purchase. And if you want that for the rest of your life, then do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you have a desire for more, let him lead you into it. Don't just go rack up debt and hurt your family and hurt the church because you're not tithing because you're trying to pay some bill so you can keep up with your neighbor. That's called pride. Can you see the difference? Okay, so now we're coming back from Rajmundry, back to Hyderabad, and we're flying home. And we have another 7-hour wait. And I'm thinking, we're going to go to a hotel and we're going to rest. And so I'm looking at the hotels and I'm not even looking at the price. I refuse. I learned something. I'm not looking at the price. And I saw the one closest to the airport is $467, no half day rate. And I thought, well, Lord, I don't care about the money. I'm going with the inner witness. Because you can speak to one person and pay for the whole trip.
Right.
So I just want to know what you want. I'm not looking at the money. Because there's also, I found the Grand Olympia luxury hotel was down to $16 from $27. What a steal. But I look past that and I'm checking. Now listen, see, because I learned something. I'm listening. I'm not making decisions on money. And I heard the Holy Ghost. There was a distinct and definitive check. But not about one hotel over the other, about all of them. So I said, Lord, Happy is somewhere. I don't know where he is. He's trying to find something or doing something because it's chaos there. So I'm standing there alone. He had the luggage and he went somewhere and I'm standing there waiting. And so I'm just, there's people everywhere. There's cows and there's whatever going on. And I'm just standing there and I said, just under my breath, you don't have to say like, the Lord spoke to me. You don't have to do that. I just, under my breath, I just said, Lord, what is that? Why do I have a check? Why do I have a check? Because I know it's about all of the hotels. And I heard him speak to me. And he doesn't always speak. Sometimes you just follow that check. But he spoke to me. He said, I don't want you going to a hotel. I said, but Lord, I got 7 hours and I'm tired and it's hot out here. And he spoke to me. He said, the effort it's going to take to get to the hotel and then to get back is not going to be worth the money. Now look at that. He didn't matter about the money. It was the effort, the traffic. This, everything is difficult. And he spoke to me. He said, you're going to regret doing this. And I said, but I don't want to stand in the heat. And I heard him say, just wait. Pastor Happy's coming. See, now that's the leading of the Spirit. So he said, we're not going to a hotel. The Lord said, I don't know, maybe there was an accident. Maybe something is going to delay us. I don't know. I just heard him say, it's not going to be worth the effort. He doesn't care about the money. He said, it's not going to be worth the effort. So I said, we're not going. And he said, fine. I think he's relieved because he's the one that has to get the cab, talk to the driver, load the cab, get the rupees. I mean, this is easier for him. And I said, but I don't know where to go. And he said, I found a place. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, follow him. Because remember, he said, Pastor Happy's coming. He led him to a place. So we go find this amazing little small restaurant outside the airport with beautiful air conditioning. And an American menu, the first American menu I have seen in, this is 16 days. I mean, I was in heaven. I was in heaven. And so I ordered, penne pasta. I just ordered stuff that I like. And it came, and it was really good. And so because we have such a long wait, We ordered appetizers, waited half an hour. Then we ordered tea, waited half an hour. Then we ordered main course, waited half an hour. Then we ordered dessert, waited half an hour. Then he ordered another tea. We were just stretching this out as far as we could, because as soon as we leave, we're back in the heat and there's nowhere to go, and we can only get in the airport, a certain time. They only let you in at a certain time. But I sat there and I felt the Holy Ghost pleasure. And I heard him say, son, you could have gone. Now listen, you could have made the same mistake because of what you failed on the last time. Remember? And you could have had the money thing. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go and pay the $400 and I don't care. And we're going to go. And you would have struggled to get there. And it wouldn't have been worth the effort. You would have struggled to get back. But you listened to me instead of looking at money or not looking at money. Looking at cheap or looking at expensive. You listened to me because I prepared this place for you. I know that may not sound like anything to you, but I sat there with a smile on my face and a Diet Coke in my hand. And then we had another problem because they wouldn't give us a boarding pass for some reason. You can't get in the airport without it. And he went, and the guy with the machine gun said, you can't come in. And we looked like we were going to miss our flight. And we couldn't get a hold of anybody at home because it's the time difference and it's the middle of the night. And I didn't know what to do. But I've got my penne pasta, my Diet Coke, and at that point, I almost don't care if I even come home. I'm just so happy. I just know that God is pleased. I know that he gave us that restaurant. I know I was led. I know I changed my thinking about money. I'm just happy. But I'm also starting to think, are we going to miss? What's going to happen here? I do have to get home. I have to leave this restaurant eventually. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, you have an angel, don't you? Sometimes we forget. And I just under my breath, I don't even think Pastor Happy heard me because he was scarfing down his paneer, which is fried cottage cheese, which is his favorite vegetarian food. And I under my breath, I said, angel, I'm in the perfect will of God. And I will not miss that flight. I said, go and find me a way into that airport. It's not like here. It's a totally different system. And so Pastor Happy had gone up and already been rejected. And so I said, Pastor Happy, when you're ready, finish your paneer and then go back up. The angel is working. And he got up there and the Lord prompted him, go to the man with the mask. He just had that inner witness. So he went to the man with the mask. And he showed him, we do not have a boarding pass. We could not get a boarding pass, but we have to get in the airport. And he looked at him and he said, I am not supposed to do this. This is breaking the process. He said, but I will let you in. So he came and got me. Took 25 minutes to get on the elevator and to get up to the second floor. Everything is difficult. But 25 minutes later, when I finally get up there, we go back to the guy and he let us in. I mean, that's a miracle. And now we're in the air-conditioned airport without a boarding pass, but at least we're in. And now the Emirates line is not going to open for an hour and a half. I don't want to wait an hour and a half. So I sat down and I'm just saying, Lord, I'm just so grateful for that food, that I'm being led, that I'm not thinking about money wrong anymore. You got us in the airport. Pastor Happy was led. I don't care if I have to wait. And I heard the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, listen to me. This is called being led by the Spirit. I heard him. I'm not even asking. I'm just praising inside. I'm so happy. I had a cold Diet Coke. I'm so happy. And I heard him say to me, you have an angel, don't you? I said, my angel's tired. He just got us in. Under my breath, I said, angel, open that line. Within 5 minutes, the man walked up to us who had just told us 5 minutes before, very strictly, Emirates line doesn't open for an hour. You sit there. He walked up to us and says, I'm opening the line for you. And he puts us to the front of the line. A person comes who's not even an Emirates employee. Not even an Emirates employee to open the line for us as the first Emirates customer. She's checking us in and giving us the coveted boarding pass that we don't have. Then I said, where am I sitting? She says, oh, you're sitting in the middle. I said, I'm sitting beside my friend Happy. Oh, no, he's not beside you. There's another person beside you. I said, I don't want to sit beside a stranger. They've got devils. I don't want to sit beside them. I didn't tell her that, but I'm thinking that. And I said, put me on the window. She goes, there isn't any window seats. And I'm thinking, the Diet Coke's joy has left me now. Because I'm thinking, I'm gonna be for 19 hours beside somebody who burps and snorts and whatever. And I'm starting to get annoyed, but not with her. I'm just like, what is going on here? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you got an angel, don't you? I mean, How dumb can you be? So just under my breath. I mean, I don't know where Happy is. He's somewhere. He's returning the cart or something. He's doing something. He's not even beside me. He's returning the cart or something. And he's such a hard worker. He just works so hard to make my life easy. And so under my breath, I don't say it. Lady, just bow your head. I'm going to release my angel. You don't need to say that. Just under my breath, I said, angel, get me a window seat. Now, the problem is I should have said, and Happy. And within 30 seconds, she goes, oh, something's just changed on the computer. I said, what? She goes, this seat just opened up. I said, is it on a window? She said, yes. She said, it's the only one. I said, do it quickly. And then I said, I need one for my friend Happy. I can't say pastor because we're not supposed to be pastors there, right? I said, I need one for my friend Happy. She goes, oh, no, there isn't anyone. That was the last one. So Happy had to sit beside a stranger. But I got to sit beside the window. He wasn't there releasing his angel. That's okay. I was there releasing my angel. Listen to me. Being led by the Spirit means constant awareness. Yes. That's good. Constant awareness. It's like a radar. It's constantly going. There's not always going to be a blip, but pay attention because a blip can come at an unknown moment. Lord, how are we going to get in? That's the speak. Yeah. Got an angel. Now that we're in, what about the line? He speaks again, angel. Now I need a seat. He speaks again, angel. I know that was a lot about angels, but the point is the Spirit of God will lead you if you're constantly aware of him. If you're in the flesh because you're angry, you're hot, you're tired, you're annoyed, which we can get, but try to just minimize that and keep aware of your spirit and stop making decisions based on money. Make them based on the leading of the Spirit. He will supply the need. But you got to learn how to do this. This takes practice. That's what I'm saying. This is a daily thing. Things will happen tomorrow for you. Learn to try to listen. Learn to be aware. I like that word aware better because listening, sometimes you kind of feel like you'll have to be actively doing something. Well, you got busy lives. You don't always have to actively do something. Be aware. The Holy Ghost will prompt you. He wants to help you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you liked any of that. But it helps me. And it's 8:52. And I believe that you leave at, is it 10 o'clock we finish service? 10 o'clock. So let me tell you one more example and then we'll call it a night. Can we do that? Is that all right? I know you thought we were ending. I probably should end, but I just can't. I just can't because I didn't really get far in my notes and I feel like this is a series that is going to be eternal.
That's okay.
Until the rapture. And we do want it to end, Jennifer. So let me, because that India one wasn't in my notes, but it's a very good example of not making decisions based on money. Amen? Let me just tell you one other one because I got a few others, but I'll talk about them the next time I see you on a Wednesday. But let me just say, this is a short one, but this is a good one about being led by the Spirit. When Oliver, our little French bulldog, when he became crippled that time, and he had basically elongated a tendon on his heel, like the dog's version of an Achilles heel. And it stretched the tendon, and it was flipping between the bones, and it was, that's what they told me later, and it was agonizing pain. I've never actually heard a dog make a sound like that. I've heard dogs, when the coyotes behind our house, they eat dogs on a regular basis, the neighbors put out signs, have you seen my dog? And I feel too bad to tell them, oh yeah, I heard your dog, I didn't see him. He was eaten last night. No, that happens, right? It happened last night. There's a whole pack that come behind our house, and those coyotes are demon-possessed. And they grab animals from the neighborhood, and they go. I don't know why it's behind my house all the time, but they kill them. And you can hear them eating the animal, and the dog is screaming and crying. But even that sound of a dog being eaten, I know that sound. This is a different sound. This was a worse sound. I've never heard an animal make this sound. It was like a scream. It was like he was in agony. And I'm an animal lover. That hurts me. I don't want to see my dog in that kind of pain. And I walked in and he would try to get up and then he'd fall and scream as he would fall because the agony. So I pick him up and he's shaking, you know, when they go into that, they start to shake. Yeah. And you know, he's cold, he's in trauma. And so I, you know, rush him to the vet, and they put him on the thing, and they do the x-rays, and they, you know, sedate him, and they have to ask your permission for everything. Do I have permission to sedate him? What you should ask him is, how much does that cost? Can I do the x-ray? You should ask, but again, we're not moved by money, but still. But anyway, so they do all that stuff, and they do both legs. One leg's fine, the other. But then they show me, and they say, and they give me the medical term, which I don't know how to pronounce. And they say, now, he said, Mr. Field, do you see this? He said, now, this has stretched. It's beyond repair. He said, now, if you don't do surgery on this, the vet is telling me. He's a doctor. He's a professional. And the dog's sleeping, because I had to put him out, because he was in such agony. So he said, if we have to do immediate surgery. And I said, well, I need to talk to my wife. You can't do it until I talk to my wife. He says, well, then you need to come back tomorrow. And I says, well, doc, let me ask you a question. Can't this just kind of shrink back to its original size? He said, not this condition. And he said, now look at the other leg. And he showed me, there's certain things he showed me on the screen. And he said, now, do you see that there? Do you see that there? I said, yes. He said, that tendon is also fixing to do the same thing. He said, I guarantee you, I've seen this in many animals, especially this breed. He said, within 6 months, you're going to have the same problem in the other leg. He said, we need to do surgery on both legs. I need to cut the tendon and reconnect the tendon so that it's taut again, because you can't do this. It's cruel to the animal. And I said, I understand. So I said, he said, let me take the dog home. I want to talk to my wife, and I'll be in touch with you tomorrow. He said, okay. And then he said this. He says, now, if you don't, he said, I'm not going to follow up with you. He said, but I'm telling you, he said, it is illegal in Canada for cruelty to animals. He said, if you cause this dog this kind of pain without doing the surgery on purpose, he said, that is an offense. He said, but I'm not going to follow up with you because there's other vets. But he said, I'm just warning you, you need to do this. There is no medical help other than surgery. I had him repeat it a second time. So we take the dog home. So I says, well, how much do I owe you? I thought it was $60-$70, right? $900. But again, I'm not moved by money. But back then I was. So for the sedation and for the two x-rays, $900, right? So then as I'm quivering with my credit card to pass it to him, then I said, and how much is the surgery going to be? So he says, well, that will be $5,000 plus tax, and that is a discount. I said, sir, the dog is only worth $3,000. That's all I paid. So you're going to give me that plus another dog? I mean, like, what's happening here? Do I get a sibling for him? And that's the discount. Now, man, we're not supposed to worry about money, but I didn't have $5,000, to be honest with you. So I take the dog home. He's sedated. He gave me pills you have to put in his mouth and liquid you have to squirt in his mouth that keeps him calm. So we did that, and he's put in there. And I left, and I'm telling Jennifer. And as I'm telling Jennifer, I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. Heard him speak to me, and I heard him say, you have authority, don't you? And I said, yeah, yes, I do. I wasn't connecting dots. And he said, speak to that leg. And your mind fights you a little bit on that, because a human is okay, but an animal, like... The Bible says a righteous man is kind to his beasts. If we have authority and we can use it and we don't, that's not called being kind to your beast. Sorry for pointing at you when I said beast. I was referring to the animal. Don't take it personally, Jennifer. And I walked. You were there. You saw me. You agreed with me. And we walked in that room, and I pointed my finger at him. He's kind of like dopey, you know, like he's half out. And I pointed at him, and I said, now you listen to me. And I said, but I'm speaking under authority, and I felt the anointing come on me. I said, now I'm speaking to you, tendon. Now you listen to me. I command you to become normal. And that other leg, you cease and desist from your reduction, and you become normal too. And I went to sleep. And the next morning, I got up. I knew the stuff was wearing off, and I'm thinking, I don't hear any screaming or crying. And I heard, he's got little nails. You know, dogs, there's a certain sound that they have on the floor if you have a dog. And I heard this, and I'm thinking, see, you should be expecting. But even I'm not really fully, I don't know, I'm expecting, but I'm just not exactly sure how it's going to manifest. And I'm thinking, what is he doing up? I open the door, and he's standing there looking at me with that little tiny tail wagging. and he jumps up on his hind legs. That's what he does when he sees me. He jumps up and he walks toward me on his hind legs. He does. And he has his hands like this, and he walks toward me like this to try to hug me. That's what he does with me. And he starts walking toward me like that, and he's on his hind legs. Completely, 100% healed. Overnight, the angel did something and fixed that, and didn't cost me a penny. God healed him. That's not the story. That is part of the story. God said the leading of the Spirit is that. But then some time later, the Lord said to me this statement. He said, do you know that you could have saved all that money with the x-rays? Now you see, now listen to me. God's not into, God don't care about money, but he doesn't want you to waste money either. See, overflow is not a waste, but not being led by the Spirit is a waste. Can you see the difference? If you're led, even if it's more expensive, that's not a waste. But if you're not led, that is a waste in God's eyes. Because the flesh always is a waste. I heard him say this. This is the point of the story. Do you know that you could have saved all that money with the x-rays, the $900? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, listen, he said, if you had inquired of me before panicking, I'd learned such a valuable lesson. I could have told you what to do in the moment, and I would have fixed it all without you having to go to the vet at all. What we do is we see and we freak. I'm telling you that I learned a valuable lesson. He said, see, that's fear, that's soul realm. Even in the face of trauma, emergency, problems, whatever. Are you listening? Even in the face of that, learn to look to your spirit. If you have to turn away from the problem and just dismiss yourself for a second, do that. Look to your spirit. The Lord was saying to me, son, I don't mind you paying the money if I'm leading you. But for you to go in fear and then pay out of panic, $900, that is a waste. Because I had a better plan. But you panicked instead of listening. Next time, listen. See, what God would have said to me if I had listened, he would have said, speak to that. I would have spoken to it then, and he would have still been healed, but I would have avoided all of that vet stuff. Do you understand? And we're up at the farm shooting the gun, and he's with me, and he loves the farm because he goes like a wild bat out of heaven. I don't want to say hell. And he just runs because he's got freedom. And it's a hot summer's day, and it's a Wednesday, and I'm there praying. You shoot a little bit, then you pray. This is the way things go. And so we shot a little bit. Had some nice cold drinks, just me and Oliver, and I'm sitting there on the porch just praying. And now it's getting 5:30. I've got to go back because I got to get dressed, got to come to church. I think it was about 5:00, and so I said, Ollie, come on. And he's always sniffing something, eating things. He eats bugs and stuff. So I thought I call him. Normally he runs right to me, and the grass is long, kind of long, hadn't been cut. And so I don't know where he is, and so I start calling him, Oliver. Oliver! And I'm yelling because I don't know where he is, and I'm not paying attention because he never goes that far. And it's Oliver! And he's not coming. And I'm screaming now. This is 30 minutes. Now I'm thinking, I'm going to miss church because of this dog. But the problem with this breed, with the face smashed up, you know, the ugly face that they have problems with their nasal passages. And they can't breathe. That's why they snore all the time. That's why we can't have him sleep in our room, because he snores like a band, I don't know, he snores really bad. He can't breathe right. So they told me when I got the dog, listen, they dehydrate because they can't breathe properly. And so you can never let them in super hot places because they will have heat stroke. And that's the number one killer of French bulldogs is heat stroke. So they warned me. So, and this is a very hot day. It was 35 degrees that day. I'll never forget. It was hot. And I'm drinking, and I had a little bowl out there. He would keep running, then he'd come and drink, and then he'd go and run, and then he'd come and drink because he's hot. And now he's not responding, and it's hot. And I have to leave for church. I'm not going to miss church over a dog, but at the same time, heat, if I leave him, he'll die. Like, I know that. Yeah. And I'm thinking, there's wild animals in that area. I thought, did he get killed? Did I not hear? Like, what? And I'm screaming. Like, I'm starting to actually now get afraid. And I'm screaming, Oliver, and he's not answering. He's not coming. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. Where is he? What am I going to do if I leave? I can't come home and tell Jenny I lost the dog. I killed the dog. I can't do that. She'll kill me. She loves the dog more than me most of the time. And so I didn't know what to do. Now, listen. I'm trying to teach you something if you listen. See, that in the moment of fear. That's a moment of panic. That's a moment of stress. Are you listening? You got to learn to look to your spirit. Now, if you have an out, like the vet, you don't have to look to your spirit, but you should, because you'll waste money if you don't. But in this case, there is no out. If God doesn't show me, the dog's going to die. Do you understand? So there is no out. So I'm forced to look to my spirit. Some people only look when they're forced. You need to learn to look whether you're forced or not. But I looked to my spirit and I said, Lord, I said, I remember standing in the driveway. I said, I don't know what to do. I have to leave. It is very hot. I haven't seen him in an hour. I don't know where he is, and he's not responding. He's either lost or he's been attacked by another animal or he's passed out because of the heat. And I can't leave, but I have to leave. And I said, I don't know what to do. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, pray in the spirit. So I stood there in the driveway. Lord, I pray out the mystery concerning this dog. You know, you got to learn to do that. Don't be embarrassed. Do it. And as I prayed for 30 seconds, maybe 40 seconds, I heard the Holy Ghost say, stretch forth thine arm. What do you mean stretch forth your arm? What's that got to do with the dog? So that's what my mind is thinking, right? I heard him say, stretch forth thine arm. So I stretched forth my arm. And he said, turn clockwise and stop when I tell you to stop. That's what I heard him say. So I started doing this. And I'm praying in the spirit while I'm doing it. And I'm doing it and I'm doing it. Now I'm facing the house. I'm coming back around. Now I'm facing the slope down the hill. And I'm coming down. Now I'm facing the driveway. And I'm coming down almost a full 360 degrees. I'm right there. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, stop. And he said, follow the path of your arm and you'll find the dog. So I started going in that exact heading. He gave me a compass heading.
He did, yeah.
But not with a number, just with that. And I started walking down into the very tall grass, and there's like a little stream, and there's bushes, and there's trees. It's almost like a little mini forest there. And I start going, and I mean, the grass is this tall. Oliver is this tall, okay? And I'm going, and I'm just stay on that heading. That's what I heard in my spirit. See, I'm talking about being led by the spirit. Yeah. That's what I heard. And I kept going, and I walked and walked and walked, and all of a sudden, as I'm walking, I saw what I thought was a little patch of white. And I kept going, and he was sitting right there, exactly on that line. Lying down, he had heat stroke, he had collapsed, and when I walked up to him, he looked at me, he moved his head like this and looked at me, and the little tail was moving very slowly, but he didn't have the strength to do anything. He had a heat stroke, and I had to tell the love, not the love of God, just the love of an owner, just the love of my animal overwhelmed me, and I reached for him and I picked him up and I said, I've got you, buddy, and he's totally limp. And he's, you can hear like he's laboring the breathing. And I said, I got you. And I picked him up and I hiked back to the house and I got the water and I poured the water and he started drinking it real slow at first, but then he drank more. He drank an entire bottle of water. And then he still couldn't walk, but I put him on my lap in the driver's seat and I kept stroking. I said, you're going to be okay. And we went, got home. By the time we got home, he was totally normal. But he would have died that day. I had no way of finding him. It's impossible. But the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost loves him, even though he's only an animal. But because he's important to me, he's important to God. The Lord could have said, he's over yonder about 200 meters in the grass. He didn't decide to do that. He did it differently that time. Don't assume that you know how he's going to lead you. Just do what he says. Hallelujah. He'll save you. This is all the leading. Sometimes it's a voice, sometimes it's an impression. But learn that leading. Learn in panic to look. Learn not to look at money, but to look at the leading. Hallelujah. Sometimes stories help because they illustrate a point. Jesus told parables, which are stories, to illustrate a point. Hope I didn't bore you tonight. Hope you learned a little bit of something. Please don't anybody send Andrea emails tomorrow. Please. Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you're teaching us, we're learning, and we're not going to hinder the flow of finances to our lives, to our families, to our businesses, or to this ministry. We're not going to do it because of fear and stinginess and wrong thinking. We're going to be liberal and generous, which is an act of faith to trust that there is more than enough all the time. And so I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that as we have talked tonight and as we have listened and learned from these simple stories, but there are spiritual truths that are embedded and layered within them. I thank you, Lord, that the people receive it and take it. For your word tells us in Romans 8, chapter 14, that those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And verse 16, Lord, tells us that we are led by the inner witness of the Spirit. So we thank you for that inner witness. Lord, it is a daily journey. It is a daily adventure. And every person within the sound of my voice, present or watching, will have an opportunity tomorrow to learn to listen to that inward witness. It won't always be a voice. It won't always be loud. But we're guaranteed the inward witness. So Lord, let us learn to look for those reds and greens. Let us learn to look for how the Holy Ghost leads us. And Lord, if we'll listen, our life will be better. Our life will be easier, more joyful. Lord, we won't waste money when it comes down to waste. We won't get in the flesh as much. And Lord, we'll learn to be generous with ourselves more and with others, and we won't hinder the flow. So Lord, we thank you for the leading. The leading is everything. Dad Hagen said the most important thing you can teach a Christian is how to be led by the Spirit. Lord, that is why we are taking time. That is why I'm telling many examples, because I'm trying to help them to learn how they can be led. I'm learning. I'm not there yet. I've made many mistakes, but Lord, I'm learning and you're teaching me. And so I thank you that you're teaching all of us.